From Straight Agree by Ben Thompson. The Inference Shift. Listen to this post. If you were looking for the ideal time to IPO, being a chip company in May 2026 is hard to beat. The company is considering a new IPO price range of $150-$160 a share, up from $115-$125 a share, and raising the number of shares marketed to 30 million from 28 million, said the sources, who asked not to be identified because the information isn't public
yet.
Reuters reported over the weekend, Cerebras Systems is set to raise the size and price of its initial public offering as soon as Monday, as demand for the artificial intelligence chipmaker's shares continues to climb. Two people familiar with the matter told Reuters on Sunday. The fundamental driver of the ongoing surge in semiconductor stocks is, of course, AI, particularly the realization that agents are going to need a lot of compute. The story of how graphics processing units became the center of AI is a well-trodden one, but in brief, just as drawing pixels on a computer screen was a parallel process, which meant there was a direct connection between the number of processing units and graphics speed, making AI-related calculations was a parallel process. Which meant there was a direct connection between the number of processing units and calculation speed. NVIDIA enabled this dual usage by making its graphics processors programmable, and created an entire software ecosystem called CUDA to make this programming accessible. The big difference between graphics and AI has been the size of the problem being solved. Models are a lot bigger than video game textures, which has led to a dramatic expansion in high bandwidth memory HBM per GPU. And dramatic innovations in terms of chip-to-chip networking to allow multiple chips to work together as one addressable system. What Cerebras represents, however, is something broader. While the compute story for AI has been largely about GPUs, particularly from NVIDIA, the future is going to look increasingly heterogeneous. NVIDIA has been the leader in both. The number one use case for GPUs has been training, which stresses the third point in particular. While the calculations within each training step are massively parallel, the steps themselves are serial. Every GPU has to share its results with every other GPU before the next step can begin. This is why a trillion-parameter model needs to fit in the aggregate memory of tens of thousands of GPUs that can communicate as one system. NVIDIA dominates both problem spaces, first by securing HBM ahead of the rest of the industry, and second thanks to its investments in networking. Inference has three main parts. Prefill encodes everything the LLM needs to know into an understandable state. This is highly parallelizable and compute matters. The first part of decode entails reading the KV cache, which stores context, including the output of the prefill step to make an attention calculation. This is a serial step where bandwidth matters, but the memory requirements are variable and increasingly large. The second part of decode is the feed-forward computation over the model weights. This is also a serial step where bandwidth matters, and the memory requirements are defined by the size of the model. Of course, training isn't the only AI workload. The other is inference. The two decode steps alternate for every layer of the model. They are interleaved, not in sequence, which is to say that decode is serial and memory bandwidth bound. For every token generated, two distinct memory pools must be read, the KV cache, which stores context and grows with each token, and the model weights themselves. Both must be read in full to produce a single output token. GPUs handle all three needs, high compute for prefill, abundant HBM for KV cache and model weights, and chip-to-chip networking to pool memory across multiple chips when a single GPU isn't enough. In other words, what works for training works for inference. Look no further than the deal SpaceX made with Anthropic. From Anthropic's blog, we've signed an agreement with SpaceX to use all of the compute capacity at their Colossus 1 data center. SpaceX retains Colossus 2 presumably for both training of future models and inference of existing ones, and can afford to do both in the same data center precisely because xAI's models aren't getting much usage. More pertinently to this piece, they can do both in the same data center because both training and inference can be done on GPUs. This gives us access to more than 300 megawatts of new capacity over 220,000 NVIDIA GPUs within the month. This additional capacity will directly improve capacity for Claude Pro and Claude Max subscribers. Indeed, the GPUs Anthropic is contracting for at Colossus 1 were originally used for training as well. The fact that GPUs are so flexible is a big advantage. Cerebras makes something completely different. While a silicon wafer has a diameter of 300 mm, the reticle limit, the maximum area that a lithography tool can expose on that wafer, is around 26 mm x 33 mm. This is the effective size limit for chips. Going beyond that entails linking two separate chips together over a chip-to-chip interposer, which is exactly what NVIDIA has done with the B200. Cerebras, on the other hand, has invented a way to lay down wiring across the so-called scribe lines that are the boundary between reticle exposures, making the entire wafer into a single chip with no need for relatively slow chip-to-chip linkages. The net result is a chip with a lot of compute and a lot of SRAM that is blisteringly fast to access. To put it in numbers, the WSE3 Cerebra's latest chip has 44 GB of on-chip SRAM at 21 PB/s of bandwidth, and H100 has 80 GB of HBM at 3.35 TB/s. You can use Cerebra's chips for training, but the chip-to-chip networking story isn't very compelling, which is to say that all of that compute and on-chip memory is mostly just sitting around. What is much more interesting is the idea of getting a stream of tokens at dramatically faster speed than Yukon from a GPU. Note, however, that the limitation in terms of training also potentially applies in terms of inference. As long as everything fits in on-chip memory, Cerebra's speed is an incredible experience. The moment you need more memory, whether that be for a larger model or, more likely, a larger KV cache, THN Cerebra's doesn't make much sense, particularly given the price. In other words, the WSE3 has just over half the memory of an H100, but 6,000 times the memory bandwidth. The reason to compare the WSE3 to an H100 is that the H100 is the chip most used for inference, and inference is clearly what Cerebras is most well suited for. At the same time, I do think there will be a market for Cerebra-style chips. Right now the company is highlighting the usefulness of speed for coding. Reasoning means a lot of tokens, which means that dramatically scaling up tokens per second equals faster thinking, but I think this is a temporary use case, for reasons I'll explain in a bit. That whole wafer-as-chip technique means high yields are a massive challenge, which hugely drives up costs. I have previously made the case, including in Agents Over Bubbles, that we have gone through three inflection points in the LLM era. ChatGPT demonstrated the utility of token prediction. O1 introduced the idea of reasoning, where more tokens meant better answers. Opus 4.5 and Claude Code Int produced the first usable agents, which could actually accomplish tasks using a combination of reasoning models and a harness that utilized tools, verified work, etc. What does matter is how long humans are waiting for an answer, and as products like AI wearables become more of a thing, the speed of interaction, particularly for voice, which will be a function of token generation speed, will have a tangible effect on the user experience. All of this falls under the banner of inference, but I think it will be increasingly clear that there is a